We are at the two dots, eight lines in the bottom, 24A. I don't know if it's 8-2. It's probably 8-2, I assume, but I don't know. Tana, we learned. Yaitze b'shem v'ayin v'rashi evorim shenim chayshim. There's another way an Evakanani can go out that was not mentioned in our Mishnah. And that is, if the master knocks out his eye or tooth, or any of the tips of limbs that don't grow back. The Mishnah in Taurus, not Masechtas Taurus, in Seder Taurus, I believe it's in the Goim, says that what are the 24 Rashi Evarim, the 20 fingers and toes, the two tips of ears, the nose, and the male organ. Those are the 24 Rashi Evarim, Sheinim Chayshim. And if the master knocks out or cuts off any tip of those Rashi Evarim, or Shein V'ayin, which are not Rashi Evarim, they're not tips of limbs. Please mute yourself. I was given the ability to mute everybody. I hate to do it, but if I have to, then I will. And then you have to push star six to unmute yourself. So please mute yourself, star six. That way I don't have to mute everybody. Anyway, so back to the Gemara. So an eved goes out if his tooth or eye or any of the tips of limbs that don't grow back. Now, the question is, so why doesn't the Mishnah list it? So why doesn't the Mishnah list that an eved can go out that way? The Mishnah, when it lists eved kanani, it says kesev and shtar. It doesn't mention Rashi Evarim. So basically the answer is that there's a machloikis that we will have in Eretz Hashem today. Whether an eved that goes out for Rashi Evarim needs a shtar shichur, might need an extra shtar, so he's going to need a shtar. So it's included in shtar. Meaning, Shein V'ayin definitely removes the monetary ownership that the owner has. But if you remember back in Masechtas Gittin, way, way back, there was a sugya about that at Eved Kanani, the owner has two kinyanim in him, two ownerships, or whatever you want to use, a better word. The money aspect and the kinyan ifter, that the Eved Kanani has certain restrictions because he's an Eved Kanani. He has to go from being an Eved Kanani to becoming a Jew. So there's a shayla over there by different things. If they remove the money, do they also remove the iser? One of these shaylas is going to be right over here. Shein V'ayin is knocked out. That gives the Eved the right to freedom. But the bottom line is, he still has iser restrictions on him. So there's a machloikus. One by the Amar says, and the reasons for the machloikus, the background of the machloikus coming up. But one of the Amar says he does not need Shtar Shikur. Shein V'ayin does it all. And one of the Amar says Shein V'ayin puts the master in the position that he no longer can work with him. But the Isser has to be removed through a Shtar Shikur. And it's legal. It's not over an Isser to free the Eved because he's basically free already anyway. He doesn't have to work for the master. So this is going to be a Machloikus. So since it's a Machloikus, whether you need a Shtar also, the Mishnah didn't mention it. That's what the Rishayim speak out. It's really a Yerushalmi. Zakti Gemar. Tana Yaitze B'Shei V'ayin V'Rashi Evarim She'enim Chayshim. Zakti Gemar B'Shlem She'en V'ayin Tzivi. She'en V'ayin are written in the Torah. Ki Yakish is She'en Avdai She'en Amosai V'Shichaso L'Chav She'en Shechen U'Tachashina. Ki Yakish is She'en Avdai She'en Amosai Stup Sukim. What about tooth and what about eye? And it says L'Chav She'en Shechen. She can go free. So the Torah says it. El Rashi Evarim in Olam. Where do you know that the other 24 tips of limbs frees the Eved? The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah just says Shein and Ayin. And for the Gemara, Dumya the Shein V'Ayin. It's compared. Ma Shein V'Ayin Mumim Shebegolui Veinim Chayzrim. It's something that's it's recognizable. It's a mum that's recognizable. It's not a hidden mum. It's a recognizable mum. And it's something that doesn't come back, meaning a tooth that's knocked out. It doesn't come back. We're not talking about a baby tooth now, right? And eyes, Rachmana Litzlan, if a person's eye is knocked out, it doesn't come back. So therefore, Afko, Mumun, Shibigalu, Vein, and Chayshim. Anything that's recognizable, which are the tips of the limbs.
How about your ears?
That's two of the ears. That's two of the tips.
What's calling me?
recognizable.
With clothing or without clothing?
Without clothing. And they don't come back. That's the source at this point. We're not finished yet, but that's the source. We're going to work it through, but we got to give the Gemara a chance. Rashi. The Brice is going to the Mishnah and adding to the Mishnah. Rashi Evarim, Chav Dalin Haim, there are 24. Ushnuyim Haim, Eitu Negoim. In Mishnah Masechtas Negoim. List them. Umaitzel Lekama Mishmaitzin, and Dav Chavayim and Alav, they will be listed. And as I mentioned before, they are the 20 fingers and toes, two tips of ears, the nose, and the male organ. Shein Chayzim, if not one of you remove them, Kishem V'ayim. At this point, Gomar B'Mematzinu. We learned it out with a logical comparison. The Tyrant had tooth and eye. We'll compare other things to tooth and eye. And therefore, a logical comparison. If tooth and eye frees him, so will things that are similar to tooth and eye. And the things that we found similar are recognizable. And they don't come back. Frank the Gemara, how do you know to do this? But name Ema, the heavy shame for Ayik Snake Subim Habon Ke'echad. The Chol Snake Subim Habon Ke'echad, Ema Lamden. There's a rule. And this is a Machloikus, by the way. I'm going to speak out the Machloikus after I speak out the rule. But the rule is a Machloikus. The Torah writes one thing. The Torah told us that there are 13 Midas HaTorah Nedreshes for him. And we should use them as much as we can. One of them is Mamatinu, which is Binyan Av. In the Brice, it's called Binyan Av, for those who say Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. It's called Binyan Av. You know, in the Pensitter, it says Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. I know, it's in the Svar Tzitter also. Yeah, it's in Karbonis, which is also an important thing to say. Binyan Av, right? So it's a logical comparison. So when the Torah writes something, the Torah wants you to make as many logical comparisons as you can. But if the Torah writes it twice, and one is unnecessary, why did the Torah write it twice? If the Torah wanted you to make comparisons, it should have written once and stopped. And I would have used my logic to compare things. Why would the Torah repeat itself unnecessarily to tell me only these two, not anything else? Now that's a machloikus. There's a mandiyamin that says that two is not to tell me don't learn out. Only three is. But in this Gemara, we're working with two. And the Gemara is asking, welcome back. Why don't we say that these two Shem V'Ayin are two psukim repeated unnecessarily? He could have said one, and I would have figured out the other. So therefore, the Torah repeated it, and the rule of repetition is that when the Torah repeats something a second time, the Torah is saying, do not use logic. Because that's why the Torah repeated it, to say, only here, not anywhere else. Because if the Torah wanted you to use logic, it would have said once, and we would have used logic. Let me read it inside. Let it be like two psukim that are saying the same thing. And whenever you have two psukim saying the same thing, it means don't use your logic. Yes?
The two things mean... Shane is one, and I is two.
Yes, that's two. I count.
Doesn't say Shane and I both each time? Doesn't say both twice?
No.
It says one time.
One Pasuk Shane, that would have been enough to teach me Mumu Shivakali and Eina Chayzim, and one Ayin, that would have been enough to teach me Shane. So by writing it twice, the Torah is repeating it, repeating the rule, not the case, twice. And whenever the Torah repeats the rule twice, the halacha twice, the Torah is telling to me, don't use mamatzinu. That's what the Torah is telling me. Zakrashi, emelam, the midlaksiv echad, since it doesn't say it just once, v'nigma kulamine, we should learn everything out from it. And for the Gemara, it's not shnei ksuvim. Let me explain this rule. Shnei ksuvim means, when one is repeated unnecessarily, I would have figured it out. But what if the two are different? Shame would not have taught me Ayin, and Ayin would not have taught me Shame. So there the tyrant needed to say both to define the rule. Because had it said Shame, I wouldn't have figured out Ayin. Had I said Ayin, I wouldn't have figured out Shame. So therefore, that's not Shnei Ksuvim Habon Ke'echad. Shnei Ksuvim Habon Ke'echad is that Shame teaches me Ayin, there's no difference. Ayin teaches me Shein, there's no difference. So why did the Torah write it twice? To tell me don't compare it to anything else. But if I can show you that Shein would not teach me Ayin, and Ayin would not teach me Shein, so then there's no extra here. When there's no extra, I'm allowed to use Mamatzinu. And for the Gemara Tzricha, Zakrashi, the loy gamar chad michavrei. I can't learn one from the other. It's not saying the same thing. One would not teach me the other. I need both. How? Why? Because of Rachman Hashem, had the Torah written Shein, had I been, I would have thought, afilu Shein cholov, even a baby tooth, which is comes back. It is asid lahachzer. Torah doesn't say what kind of tooth. A tooth. Their baby teeth fall out and grow a new one. And therefore, I would have said, an eved can go free even by something that grows back. Kasa Rachmana Ayin, which Ayin tells me it doesn't grow back. Because of Rachmana Ayin, have a mean of my Ayin Shinivri Imai, I've called Shinivri Imai. It's something that's there from the moment of birth. Whereas the adult tooth is not there from the moment of birth. I was Shein Lai. So the Torah had to tell me Shein and Ayin. Shein to tell me even things that weren't there at the time of birth. And Ayin to tell me things that don't grow back. Now I have Shein and Ayin. So I compare it to everything else. Things that are recognizable and don't come back. But it's not repetitious because one wouldn't have taught us the other. Yes?
This is a maybe silly question, but is a molar considered recognizable? If he knocks out a molar, does he go free? Back to...
I think so. Well, you know, honestly, we're going to talk about that later on. We'll talk about it later on.
How young can you ever be? Be a baby?
Well, it can't go out the chain when it's a baby.
In other words,
there's ways to go out. An Evan can be born an Evan. If you own a Shifkin Kananis and she has a baby, he's your Evan. Now, to go out the Shane Valiant, you have to have Shane. Shane doesn't come till the permanent teeth come in.
Must that be myself a Rav, or can it happen by anybody?
Only the master. Only the master.
Not like a fluke accident with a...
No, again, only the master.
Under the master's...
Only the master.
Yeah.
I think what he's trying to say is...
I know what he...
No,
Baruch Hashem, he need a Rashi?
No, but he's asking what happens if the Rav Shogeg...
He accidentally did it.
That's going to be discussed later on. That's not what he meant, but that's going to be discussed later on.
No,
it wasn't Rashi. It was your own thing. But you're anivus. You don't want to take credit for it, so then we gave it to him. Right. Rashi, Shein the Cholov. The reason it's called the milk tooth, in Yiddish, it's called milk tzein. The Shein Shiyanag bite. Shein that you nurse with, the asid lach, that's why it's called Shein the Cholov. The asid lachlifa, it's going to go a different, it's going to change, can be ever cut. Zog the Gemara.
Whatever the Mensah came out all wrong, can a master pull out a baby's tooth, the ever baby's tooth?
It doesn't go free with a baby tooth. Gemara is saying he doesn't go free with a baby tooth. So anybody can pull out the ever baby tooth.
And if the Adon is a dentist and he takes care of his...
That's going to be discussed later on. That's what Avram brought up. If it's a shaking, or we'll talk about dentistry later on.
I don't want that to be considered one of my questions. You know what I'm saying?
You're not limited.
Are you limited?
Yeah, the doctor told me I'm limited to a certain amount of words in her lifetime. I don't want
that is true.
Rabbi?
But you out of Shem, everybody gave you a huge number.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Sometimes people have teeth pulled for referral purposes. Would that go into the same category or no?
I didn't understand the question.
Sometimes people have teeth pulled for referral.
Either you're talking too loud or you're too close to the phone. One of the two.
Sometimes people have teeth pulled for referral.
Who? Words aren't coming for, clearly.
For a refuah. Sometimes a tooth is pulled for a refuah.
Do me a favor, can you cut your mic off and speak directly into the phone?
Rabbi, he said sometimes a tooth is pulled for a refuah.
Right, so the Gemara is going to discuss that, yes. That is going to be a discussion of the Gemara coming up. I just couldn't understand the words. Thank you, Harvey. Thank you, my advisor. Frank the Gemara, who says that we should open this up to logical comparison? Veima, why don't we say, Kiyaka Klau. Says Ish Kiyaka, that means anything. Shame Vayan Prat. Then the Torah specifies two limbs. Prat, Klau Prat, Aim Beklau, Masha Beprat. We have a rule that we have a general pasuk followed by a specific. Only one general and one specific. Specific defines the general. If that's the case, shame vayin in bin yachid iloi. That tells us, do not make a mamatzinu. Klau Prat says, don't compare. The Torah is defining the general, only the specific, which is shein and ayin. Who says I have a right to go compare it across? Now, had the Torah not written a general, just written shein vayin, I would have said, you compare it. But by writing a general followed by specific, one of the rules in that Bryce had Rabbi Shmuel Omer is Klal Prat. And the rule of Klal Prat is that the Prat defines the Klal.
And for how do you know if it's Mamatino or Klal Prat? How do you know which one it is?
Again, the Pusik tells me Klal Prat. Mamatino is my own logic. I don't logically make a Klal Prat. I look at a Pusik. If I see a Klal Prat, I have rule number...
What's the claw? What's the
claw? Kiyaka says anything. The master that knocks out. And then the Torah says Shein or Ayin, which is specifics.
So he said one pasuk says Shein, one pasuk says Ayin.
I guess. But both pasuk says Yaka. Says Yaka Shein, Yaka Ayin. So there's two claws and two prats. But written in Klal Prat form. So for drasha purposes, it's like it's one pasuk. And for the Gemara, L'chavshi shachano chazer klal. To send them free, that is, if I, since it says yishachano, it's a lashon of more things, so that's an other general, and by the way, I'll be honest, I'll get to my honesty in a minute. Chazer klau, klau pratu klau, we have to done a lekena prat. So now it goes into the rule of klau pratu klau. When you have two general words, in between is a specific word. So then the rule is, you compare things to the prat. Now that opens it up. Now I have a right to make a comparison. Whatever is similar to the middle. Ma prat, beforeish, mum shebegali vein and chayjim. I study the two specifics that the Torah said, and the commonality is that they are revealed, meaning they are recognizable, and they don't go back. I've called. Now, I will be honest. I never understood, and I still don't understand, why certain words are klau. Kiyaka. If you knock out, that's a klau. How else was the Torah supposed to tell you knock out an eye? If the Torah meant only an eye, send them free. Why is that a klau? Why isn't that just defining what happens when it gets knocked out? The Gemara does this many, many times in Shas. Many, many times in Shas, the Gemara takes a word like this and calls it a klau, and another klau, and a prat in between, and it makes an afkamina and halacha. This is the source that I can now include other things. If you would have asked me, again, not that I have any say in the matter, I would have said there is no klau here. The prat is shein v'ayin, and there's no word that says any general statement. Hitting is not, I would have said, is not a general statement. How else? Going free is not a general statement. It's defining what happened. He hit, he goes free. But the Gemara says not like me. So I'm wrong, and the Gemara is right. And the Gemara is saying that the word kiyaka can be used as a klau, and the word lachav shishachanu can be used as a klau. And by the way, this happens, I want to say, hundreds of times in Shas. It happens many, many times in Shas. And at each of these points, I never understand them. And again, I will admit, I don't understand. It's my chassar, not chassar shalom, anything else. But I never understood out when you do this and when you don't, I don't know. Yes. I don't.
So I think that's a very good...
No, I say it goes back into that same thing. Drushes,
yeah.
I was never taught, and that's not how you figure out. Drushes went one way, went the other way. Never.
Well, no one's been taught how to make drush for the last
1,500
years.
Okay, I just don't know. Right. No, but I'm sure that doing daily Yisrael that did not have my problem, that understood exactly why something is one way and the other way, and that might even happen today. There are people that understand. I'm talking about one person, me. I don't understand. Okay, it makes no difference, but that's...
In this case, the repetition of the word kiyaka...
Maybe. It's a nice thought. Maybe the fact that the Torah wrote kiyaka twice, maybe, and it wrote the Chavshi Shekhanu twice, maybe that's what makes it a cloud. Nice thought. I didn't think of it. Maybe. Thank you. Rashi? No Rashi yet. Frek the Gemara. If you're going to go with the rule of cloud brought to cloud, so then I look for all characteristics. I shouldn't say all. All major characteristics of Ayin and Shein. Now, you mentioned two of them. They're both revealed, and they both don't grow back. But there's a third one. It becomes dysfunctional. Doing it makes the limb totally dysfunctional. It does not. There's no function for that limb once the tooth was knocked out. That tooth is dysfunctional. Once the eye has been, Rachmana Lutzlan, knocked out, the eye is dysfunctional. So we're going to ask a question from something that does not make something dysfunctional. Let's see. Frek the Gemara. Ima prak mefurish, mimumin shebegolu, yobotum and melachta ve'eina chayzer. It's revealed, botum and melachta, it does not grow back. Third one, botum and melachta, avko, mumim shebegolu, there should be a third characteristic. Now, how does that affect us? Now, every one of the 24 tips of limbs are batum melachtai. If somebody chops off a guy's tip of a finger, that tip of the finger doesn't work anymore. Alam atanya, talush biskeinai, the owner grabbed his beard, bedildu bayatzem, and dislocated a bone in the jaw. So that, according to the way Rashi explains it, does not impede anything that the person does that he no longer can do. It's a bone that's there to strengthen things, but everything he did before, he can do without that bone functioning. And therefore, he dislocated a bone. It is galui, it's revealed, one can see a dislocated jaw. It is anisifalaxar, ain't going back, I guess, not correctable, maybe with some surgery, but then you can put a finger back also.
Try chewing a piece of meat.
Again, I'm learning Rashi's shot. Other Rishonim have a problem with this because of what you said, but let's just learn Rashi, then we'll try to speak out the other Rishonim, right? I've called Mumushivagab I've saw one tanya tallus because kind of a dulto by them ever guys and I'm the Rashi. Look Rashi. A Khavsi Shachana Rebu like Shluchim. The Torah added more ways to send them out. Bidulaksiv Khavshi who or Yate Khavshi. Batum Malachtoi. The eye in nismus mirais, the eye is blinded from seeing, Rachmana Lutzlan, v'ashein, and the tooth mililaisim to chew. Dildu b'yatzim, hishmitai b'mkaimai, dislocated it, a mechuber b'basar, and it's still hanging there, it's not attached to the structure of the body. Yaitzim b'ylecheiris, im etzim shein echeizerhu. If it's a bone that won't reconstruct on its own, the seifai livesh v'lipo, it'll dry up and fall off. The other gav the leke bit malacha, even though there's no change of work. The etzim de zaken lav midi have oven. That bone never really did much. Kiven the begolihu vein a chazer hariu ki asher mabal roshi avarim. It becomes like the 24 tips of limbs. Therefore, it goes out. But if you're going to use shein v'ayin as a cloud, perhaps a cloud. shouldn't that not include the jawbone, which didn't function a major function to begin with? That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. We'll learn the Gemara's answer, then I'll go to the other Rishayim. And for the Gemara...
If everyone could please mute themselves.
Sorry, I asked a million times. I don't know why people don't get it. If it happens again, just tell me and I'll mute everybody. And for the Gemara, that the word is not a cloud. It's a ribui mi ribui. It seems that over here, even the school of thought that learns klau prato klau, learns the word yishalchena is more encompassing. And here the Torah is writing a more inclusive, which does not need it to be specifically like the prat. It needs less comparison to the prat. Therefore, if it's a rubuyo, therefore it includes almost everything. And now the Gemara is going to ask, so why don't we include more? Let's give the Gemara a chance. Rashi. The Rashi, Rebuyahu, ain't a lush and clow. Leah's didn't be clow prat. El ribuy mi, ribuy mi. It includes everything. So the Gemara is going to ask if it includes everything. It should include more things. We'll see that in a moment. Now, a lot of Rishayim disagree with Rashi. I shouldn't say a lot, at least some. And they say that a jawbone keeps the teeth working. When the jawbone is dislocated, as Dr. Harris pointed out, have fun chewing a piece of meat. So they learn that it's not gully. They learn that that's not called a recognizable mum. It's internal. And therefore, they don't view a jawbone dislocated as recognizable. And the Gemara's kasha is, not from batum malachtai, but from goli. It's not goli. It's shver in the Gemara, because the Gemara brought in batum malachtai and then asked the question. So I don't know the answer. I'll leave it that we'll learn like Rashi, and we'll just blind shver with a piece of meat. Yes?
Do any of the portions that you saw say, like they do in the vestibular, that Rashi was mistaken and this does not exist? No, I didn't see anybody say it. No. So this jawbone, you can't recognize because it's a beard? Again, some rich item learned that way,
and they say it's not called recognizable because it's internal. I don't know why. To me, it's pretty recognizable, but I don't know.
It's recognizable.
I'm sorry?
Rashi
says
it's recognizable.
Yes. Rashi says on the Rashi of Yaitse by Lecheris, the etzem of the Zokain, lav media above it wasn't work functional, but even the begolihu, the enechizer, Harry who cast him about Rashi Avar. Rashi speaks it out clearly. Crack the Gemara. If you're going with Riboy me at Riboy, so then I have another problem. Because the Ribuyahu, I feel he call Ayadim at Samsa, he hits him on his hand, and the hand becomes, the way I would like to use is the word numb. Rashi, I know, but I don't like the word withered. I knew that Archko would do that. But I don't like it. I'll tell you why. Because it says the cyphalaxar is going to recuperate. So to me, withered sounds permanent. Numb sounds temporary. So that's why I picked that word. Withered is, Rachmana Litzlan, a person whose hands withers. You don't expect him to regain use of his arm. I don't know, I'm using an English word that I don't... Therefore, I would like to use something that signifies temporary non-usable. The hand became not usable, but will come back. That's why I use the word numb. It became numbed, temporarily paralyzed, something to that effect. Sorry, Marcia, you had a question?
Wounded for a while, they can't use
it. Not wounded, it's not usable. Rashi uses the word yafsha, dried out, which is where Archko got the word withered.
It's not a broken bone.
Doesn't say that. Let's say what it says. Rashi says it dried out. That's the word Rashi uses. Let's not change Rashi. But the Gemara says, Seifel Achzer, it's going to come back. So Nami, that should be a mum. Now, if you're going to say it's Riboy, Riboy means everything. So why is a temporarily non-usable hand not free the Eved? If you go with Riboy, now if you go with cloud, prop to cloud, that's great. But then you got a problem with the jawbone. And for the Gemara, M.K. Shevai, my honey lay, Shevai and Armiutim. You're right. Reboot would have included everything, but then Shane and I come in limits. So they limit things that come back or are not revealed. Nope. Sorry?
Shane and I don't come back.
Right. So they limit that only things that don't come back, not things that come back, only things that are revealed, not things that are not revealed. Rashi? The trashy. MK deliver my midi, me at the Shevai and my mead. What is me at Shevai? Yes, doctor, you had a question?
No, I'm still trying to look up.
Fine. I just don't know. I didn't like the word withered. I thought of that dried out, but that makes it sound more permanent. I wanted to use a word that could be is more temporary. Because the Gemara says, Seifel Lachzer. It's going to recover, yes.
Temporary, at what point does the Eved go free?
Well, if you learn, he doesn't. But the Havamina of the Gemara was that he does as soon as it becomes non-usable. Forever. And he's free forever.
So it's the discretion of the master?
No! As soon as the head becomes not usable, the Eved, it's just a Havamina. It's not the way it is. This is what we thought. The end of the day, it has to be permanently disabled. But at the point that the Gemara wanted to say, even temporary, he would go free as soon as that temporary, what word am I looking for? As soon as the limb becomes temporary non-usable.
At the end of the day, is this a reboot? I mean, the
yes.
And what are we being marabba?
Marabba, dildo etzem, the jawbone.
That's included that he goes to
Kavshi? Yes, the Brisa said that. I didn't say that, the Brisa said that. That was the Gemara's problem. If it's a cloud path to cloud, why is the jawbone free of?
That's not
equivalent to Rashi Yivorim? It's not. Not tips of Yivorim. Number one, it's not Batum and Malachtai. That was the Gemara's question. Again, the Torah writes Shane and Ayin. The Torah doesn't write Rashi Yivorim. Rashi and Varma derived from Shane and Ayin. How are Rashi and Varma derived from Shane and Ayin? They share the same characteristics. And they don't come back. They're not concealed. They're revealed. They're revealed and they don't come back. The Gemara said, why isn't there a third requirement? Revealed, doesn't come back, and makes something dysfunctional. Not dysfunctional was never functional to begin with, Rashi says.
Is there this time the point? Is there such a concept that the Eved temporarily doesn't work while he's healing to find out that he heals?
Well, he can't, again.
He could do something else, he could be a scarecrow.
Again. Hold a second. If. Let me ask. I'm going to say, I hate to be crude, but just trying to get a point across. If the master wounds his cow, his bull, that draws his plow. What happens to the bull now that it's wounded?
It recovers and...
So an Eved is the same as the bull. Can't make it work, but it can't work.
An Eved is limited to what... I mean, a shore is limited to what kind of work he can do, but an Eved can do all
that. Right, so the same thing will happen to an Eved. He'll do what he can do, and he won't do what he can't do. And if he's in bed and he can't move, he won't move. And if he can't work with his arm, he'll be a scarecrow. He'll be whatever he has to do. He's an Eved.
It's something that they know is going to heal.
Exactly. This is something that the doctor says, give it a week, give it a month, he'll be back to normal.
The doctors are not sure. Is there such concept that in the meantime...
No, he doesn't go free now. He can't.
Free,
it's not...
but does he have to do the work of an Eved?
Yeah, why not? Well, meaning he doesn't know if he goes free. It's I don't know. I answer is, I'll say I don't know. I don't want to get involved. I can get involved more, and it gets much more complicated, but I won't get involved. I mean, maybe I will, but in a minute. Yes. He's not hired. He's an Evan.
But he was paid.
Not paid. He's an Evan.
He was bought for.
Yes.
I haven't word of it.
No, you have to use the right word. Words are important, yes. Yeah, the number of words are also important, but this is also important how to say that.
And therefore, he was paid for a certain amount to do a little more complicated work.
Right, and then now, the owner went and wounded him. Yeah.
Now, all he can be is a scarecrow.
Right.
So are we going to even change the whole payment term?
No, but understand, he was bought. You buy a bull to plow, and the bull trips and breaks its foot. You go back to the original owner? A guy buys a car, and then he has an accident. Does he go back to the original owner and say, well, the car's not worth that much now, I need my money back? You buy a pen and it runs out of ink. Go back to the store and say, I need a refill? Yeah, people do that. Yes.
When I was growing up, you just got signs in the store saying, you break it, you buy it. So this one, it's already bought.
Right. Exactly. You break it, you buy it. There's some stores that used to operate that way. That's true. Anyway, that's the story. Now, I will mention something, even though I wasn't keen on doing it, but I have to be honest. Shane and Ayan is a knas, which means if the master runs to Bezin before the Eved gets there, and he walks into Bezin and says, I knocked out my Eved's tooth, I'm being mighty by knas, the Eved doesn't go free. The Eved has to get to Bezin with evidence that the master wounded it, did this, before the master gets to Bezin and is mighty by knas. Okay, so now, let's go back to your question. Eved, the master wounded the Eved, and we don't know if he's going to recover. Now, one of two things will happen. Either the Eved will run to Bezin and Bezin will put a hold, or the master will run to Bezin and it won't make a difference anyway. So this is an added feature. This is mentioned in Sefer Baba Kama, the seventh Perek. The Gemara in the whole Shaila, what if you admit to a Bezin, not in Bezin? Right, you meet the Dayan and you say, oh, right, Reb Gamliel knocked out Tavi's eye. He was so excited. He could free Tavi. And he ran and he said, I knocked out Tavi's eye. They said, well, you just were made of a knas and Tavi doesn't go free.
So Bez can't have a temporary, he'll be off duty if he runs to Bezin.
Again, I don't know what will happen if he runs to Bezin on a wound that we don't know whether it's permanent or not. I don't know. Because the Eved did run to Bezin first. If the master did, he wouldn't go free at all. So he got to Bezin first. And he has evidence that the master did this to him. But we don't know if it's permanent. We'll have to wait and see. So I don't know what happened. I don't know. Bezin's going to have to come up with some kind of financial solution. I don't know. Don't think of my advice. Tana Rabbanan. Bekulon, now we're going to have a whole list of Mandi Amrim, and we'll talk reasons at the end. Bekulon, Eved Yaitzim,
so at the end of the day, is it Kual or Prad, or is it?
Three by me.
Again, how do we know when to use what?
The way it sounds from Rashi is the word Yishalchana is more than a Kual. It's so general. More of a reboy.
Lafuki,
other things that are a cloud. What can I tell you?
That's how he knew.
I don't know.
That's
what Rashi used to say. Don't think of my bad. Bekulam Eved Yaitzvam Lecheris. By all these 26, Shane, Ayan, 24 others, and Eved goes out free. However, if it's Sarah get Shikur, he still needs Ishtar Shikur to allow him to marry a Jewish girl. he's still an Eved Kanani when it comes to halachas of Isser. Neberim Shimon. Remei Raimei Netzarach. Meir says he goes free completely. Reblez Raimei Netzarach. Tafer Raimei Netzarach. What? Not that I remember. Maybe in Gittin. It seems that this was in Gittin, Daf Membeis in the days. Well, you remember. Great. Rabbi Kivai Metzarech, Hamachriyim Lefnei Chachamim, those who decide in front of the Chachamim, that's a code word for certain Mandi Amrim, which I don't know who they are here. Our Sanhedrin says who it is, but here the Gemara does not explain who they are. Amrim, they said, compromise. Near and Divri Reb Tarvin B'Shem V'Ayin, Shatayra Zachzuloi. We agree to Reb Tarvin B'Shem V'Ayin that he goes free without a Shtar Shechrur, because the Tyra says it. B'Shari V'Arim, V'Divri Reb Akiva B'Shari V'Arim, Hayun Knas Chachamimu. Now, we're middle, I jump any questions. The reason we agree to that he needs a Shtar Shechrur by the other ones is because it's only rabbinic. Therefore, biblically, he still needs a Shtar Shechrur. Frank the Gemara, Knasu, Kroyek Hedashina. It's not a Knas. We're dashing Sukkim. Hey, I am muting people. How am I supposed to do? Five, sir? They can unmute yourself by doing star six if you have a question. But that way, everybody is muted and nobody will be bothering anybody else.
That's a big jump for me.
Okay, I hope it doesn't bother you. Okay. By the way, I go on a Rabbanim conference once a week. I don't go most of the time, but when I do go, all Rabbanim are muted. And Rabbi First gives a shiur, and everybody else is muted. If you have a question, you unmute yourself and you ask a question. If not, nobody's side noise, his kids crying or his wife screaming or whatever happens, bothers the shiur. Or his phone ringing, you know what I mean? Everybody, this is much better. Okay. I hate to do this, but that's life. So again, Frank the Gemara, Knas Chachamim, Knasu, Kroi Kedashinan. We learned it out from Sukkim. So the Gemara, Hayu Medrash Chachamim. It's not explicit, it's a drasha. So this was Yimachriyim Lefnei Chachamim, the compromisers. They said, we paskin that you don't need to get Shechru by what the Torah says, the Feirish. But what you learn now from a drasha, there you need to get Shechru. And all the Rishonim say, huh? Since when is a drasha different than the Feirish? Drashas are like it's written. Since when do you differentiate whether you learn it out from the Pasuk or from a Klal Prat or from a Reba Miet? It's included. It's biblical. So Zok Rabbeinu Tam, and this is Rabbeinu Tam's chat, that really he doesn't need a Shtar Shechru. But since it's not the Farish and the Torah, people will stop this Eved in the street and say, you're not free. What kind of baloney are you free? Who freed you? Where did you get free? And he won't have any proof to his freedom. Shein V'ayin, who showed them his missing tooth or his missing eye, everybody learns Chumash and Cheder, and everybody knows that Shein V'ayin frees. Other things, nobody knows. Where did you get that from? They don't learn. They didn't learn in Shiva. They didn't learn Klal Pato Klal. They don't know this. They don't know Rebu Mi Rebu. So people will stop him in the street and accuse him of being an Eved. And people will say he's an Eved. He's faking it. He's free. So came along Chazal and said he needs to get Shechrur. So the Machriyim Levnei Chachamim, in essence, are paskening that you don't need to get Shechrur. They're agreeing to Reb Tarfon that Shein V'Ayin is a complete total freedom. Except when it's not the Farish and the Pasuk, they decided to rabbinically require a get Shechrur for the benefit of the Eved. Then nobody should accuse him of still being an Eved. He'll be able to pull out that Shtar, take a picture on it on his phone, and he'll show it to everybody. Here's my Shtar Shechrur, and then they'll leave him alone. Yes.
Why would he care if people were calling him an Eved? I mean, is it more for his children that they shouldn't be?
For everything. For Shidduchim, for his children, for his ability to get an Aliyah and Shul, to get Maftu Yaina, my favorite Aliyah, to get Maftu Yaina, he won't be able to get mafkiyot if he's in heaven.
What was the other thing we had once? Rebbe had a tesis over there. There's a pasuk we have for eat the teva, for a star, to keep it alive. You probably put it into a.
My God, do
you remember? Yeah, that's
the
same type of thing, no?
Right, similar.
But all it is just an Eitzetova.
It's not an Eitzetova, it's a rabbinic requirement. They required it because it's good for the Eved.
It's not part of the Cheirus.
It's not part of the Cheirus, but rabbinically he doesn't go free till he gets that Star Shechron.
He can try to do it without it.
No, he can't. Rabbanah said you can't. I know exactly what you're saying. I'm agreeing with you. Not the guy
Rabbi,
what?
Rabbi, why enforce that kind of ignorance? I mean, then the same populace that doesn't know any better can decide that anyone without a tooth also needs a shtar.
I tried to answer that. I tried to avoid that question. Is that written the Pharisees in the Torah, there's an assumption that everybody that goes to shul listens to Kriyas HaTorah, and in those days, they translated every pasuk. So if you went to shul for Shabbos morning, you heard that tooth and eye go free. However, the ones who have to learn klal prata klal, ribui meet ribui, there was no Gemara written. There was no place it was written down. They had to listen to Torah Shabbat Peh being taught. Not everybody had that exposure or was interested in that exposure or had that exposure. And therefore, there was a good portion of the populace that didn't know the halacha. Now, usually, you know, they'll ask. Here, they'll accuse the Eved. That's how I tried to avoid the question. Again, I'm not sure it's a great answer, but that's what I took.
If I was more learned, I could come up with maybe 15 examples where we don't do that, and someone may be accused falsely of something, and then all he has to do is say, listen, my Rebbe said that this is derived from a pasuk. Go ask your Rebbe. I mean, is the slave that vulnerable? I'm just not quite sure why they applied that here and not in so many other circumstances.
Dude, I think you're right. A slave is more vulnerable because he was a slave and everybody knew him to be a slave, and rumors can be very detrimental to him. Here he's looking for a shidduch, and the rumor around town is that he's a slave. And, you know, these things are, he's in a much more vulnerable position. Because, you know, again, it's a different kind of society, I think, that we have today, right? Let's say somebody was not Jewish, and everybody knew he wasn't Jewish. And then one day he comes in and says, I'm Jewish, right? Somebody would be, you know, the learned people would require him to prove it in a way. But the people in the street, well, I said today, were much more accepting. I don't think it'd bother anybody. I don't think anybody would make a big to-do over it. But in those days, hello, you know, who do you think you are? Like, where did this happen? What happened, you know? And these people are the most vulnerable because they were not Jewish before. They were Avadim. And it ever was a different class of person. And now all of a sudden he changed.
Okay.
How about Gerus? There's no such thing as certificate of Gerus. Is there?
What?
Regular Gerim. Is there a certificate of Gerim?
Absolutely. Not halakhically mandated, but smart mandated. Sure. A guy walks into town, and everybody knew he was a guy, now he claims he was converted. Would you let your daughter marry him?
So it was practice of basin to give them up.
Yeah, if you have proof. They do it today. They have star Gerim.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. Again, not because it's necessary halakhically. He's a Gerim without it. There it's an Eitz HaTorah, like Rabbi Cohn wanted to say by Avadim. It's a good advice for him to have it. Here, the Chazal mandated it. Yes?
It appears from the perspective of the master that the Ketshukur is an undesirable thing to do. Is that because of Kubatulayu Ben Avoidu?
No, there's no answer. Is it required?
Is it required?
Yeah.
But what's the default? I mean, the default...
He doesn't want to write. The master is giving him a hard time giving him one. Not because there's any yisur. Does he have to get a getchikr? Can he go marry a Jewish girl?
So what the mere act of maiming him a finger would set him free without anything. That's what we're saying. It's come on down. And some say, no, you need that Geshefer to just... And now we're saying, according to this, that just to prove that he was...
Again, but Rabbanan required it, and therefore he's not free without it.
And the other one, number four, Shimon says...
The ones that say Tzarek Geshefer?
Yes.
I don't know whether they're saying biblically or rabbinically. I don't know. This is what Rabbeinu Tam's shot. Not everybody agrees.
Does the
Rashi
Yavarim
have to be done with the 10th? Again, we haven't gotten there yet. You asked me this question before.
No, but I'm saying, are you
labor
inadvertently for the
Tidlasi Lilavan? Yeah, Bishagig is Bishagig. We'll worry about it tomorrow. Yes.